Blog Talk Radio. This program is being brought to you by I Am a Success Story. Our mission statement: to empower each other to accept ourselves in a world that is constantly trying to make us something we are not.
Good evening. I am your host, Blaze. This is the segment of the I Am a Success Story program, Prayerful Thursday. It is the fourth Thursday of the month, and the fourth Thursday of the month, we always use that as a time to say thank you for all of the blessings that we have received, and we also pray for ourselves and for each other. My name is Blaze. I am your host, and I am going to start tonight's program with none other than Free by Mandisa. I'll be right back. Go in and get
success is what you want for me. For me.
It is not a simple thing. It can be rather difficult to live a holy life. And when someone hears a holy life, what does it really mean to you? Because it may mean different things to different people. And for some people, you know, it's at a standard where no one can truly meet. But God doesn't ask us to be anything that He did not create us to be. He is only asking us to be exactly what He has created us to be. And I'm going to, something just popped into my head, and so I'm going to go find it, because why did it just pop into my head? Let's go find it. Isaiah. So, Isaiah 4, this is what I just got. So I'm going to it. It is Prayerful Thursday, a beautiful, beautiful sunny day in my neck of the woods. I actually walked 3 miles outside today. Didn't think I had it in me because it's been so long, but I did it. And so it is a good thing. So Isaiah, Isaiah 4. Isaiah chapter 4. Don't know why that came to me. But Isaiah chapter 4 says, "And in that day 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." And verse 2 says, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." Now, in order to really get the concept of a verse, it is always important to read the verses that lead before it. So, that is your own homework. Read Isaiah chapter 3. See what comes before Isaiah chapter 4, and why Isaiah chapter 4 gave us what it just gave us, because I'm going to do that homework myself after this program. I have just marked the page so that I don't lose it, because, interesting. You know, Matthew 12, verse 49 says, "And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." So, God does not ask us to do anything that He has not prepared us to do, you know. And sometimes we think that it is impossible to walk according to Christ. We may not be able to do the things that He did in the manner in which He did it. But He said, when you feed the poor, you feed me. When you clothe the naked, you clothe me. When you help the less fortunate, you help me. So again, the instructions are there as to how to live our life. Yet, it can be the most difficult thing for us to do in the world that we live today. It's break time. I'm going to take my break, and I will be right back.
This program is being brought to you by I Am a Success Story. Our mission statement: to empower each other to accept ourselves in a world that is constantly trying to make us something we are not.
Yes, my name is Blaze. I am your host, and I am actually having a cup of rose petals black tea tonight. I haven't had a cup of that in a long time, and so I am having that tonight. And this is my week where I am starting to do, well, actually today I've started a series of changes in my daily ritual today. You know, being working from home, caring for a child, and not being able to do as much on the outside as I did prior. You know, when it gets cold, everything changes, especially when you have a little one, because there is but so much you can do. And since where I live, you have to drive to everything. You know, I don't want to be out there every single day driving 30 minutes to get somewhere just to have, just to be occupied. So I pretty much spend my winter months indoors, and I decided that it's spring, the weather is now getting beautiful, I am going to give myself some challenges. So I have a 10,000 outdoor steps that I will be doing, that I am to do daily. And I decided I was going to start slow by doing 5,000 outdoor steps for the first 3 to 5 days until my body is, you know, until I'm confident. You know, I have this little thing where sometimes it kicks in. And so I decided to walk today, and the funniest thing happened. You know, when you start something, you may start slow. But if you continue after you feel like giving up, you eventually pick up momentum. And that's like everything else in our life. Because I started walking today. I dropped my daughter's car off at the mechanic and decided I was going to walk a few blocks. And I have walked that way before after dropping the car. So today I was determined that I was going to go a little further than I did before, and then I decided to make it my 5,000 step. And halfway through, I was about 2,000 steps, and I started feeling tired, and I wanted to give up. And I decided, no, I wasn't going to do that. I would continue, and so I continued going. I continued going, and wouldn't you know it, I ended up doing 7,000 steps today. And what I realized about that was just I didn't have that far to go when I started feeling tired and wanting to give up. And I decided, no, I started giving myself landmarks that I would stop at, and then I realized that I was picking up momentum. So as I was picking up momentum, I kept on going, and when I finally stopped, because I had to get home so I can get to work, when I finally stopped, I had already done 7,000 outdoor steps. So I'm very proud of myself for doing that. But I'm saying this to say, like everything else in life, a prayerful life sometimes can be very difficult, because where do you find the time in your crazy schedule to spend 30 minutes or an hour talking to God? And sometimes, no, it doesn't take all of that, but sometimes it's a good thing to give up that time, because you give it up for everything else. You give it up for everything else. And so sometimes it's a good thing to give that time up for God as well. But when you start slow and you're starting to feel like, oh, my goodness, I can't do this. I don't have the time. It's just taking too much time out of me for me to do this. Remember, right before you give birth, that's when you don't give birth until you get contractions, number one. You're not ready to give birth until you get contractions. And then when the contractions are coming and they're coming closer together, that means you're getting ready to give birth. And they're getting stronger and they're more painful and they're more unbearable. But the baby's just around the corner. So if you decide, you know what, this is too painful, I can't do this, I'm just going to close my legs, and that's it. I'm not pushing, I'm not doing, I'm not opening my legs, I'm not doing nothing. Something bad is going to happen. You may injure your baby. So when we are at that place and we want to give up, if we do give up, we are hindering our own blessings, because it gets more painful right before you give birth. Everything becomes more unbearable right before you give birth. And if you are like most women, oh, giving birth is not a pretty picture. The words that come out of your mouth, the things that you do, oh, you hurt people when you give him birth. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind on this prayerful Thursday. Keep it in mind that if you are trying to make time to do something for yourself, to be better at something, to practice more, to show up more for yourself or somebody else, it's going to get more difficult right before it actually happens. And so I'm going to do Kurt Carr, I Almost Let Go.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunch anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and His grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me.
Here today. So I'm here today. Give up, God. Give up. I'm up.
Come on, hunt somebody next to you. Tell them, I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.
I almost let go.
Turn to the Lord. You know, David, I love Psalms. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And David, being the great king that he is known to be, was not always fearless. You know, he had his moments. He had some moments where he cried out to God and he said, "Why am I going through this? Where are you?" You know, he had his moments. And because of his moments, he gave us the book of Psalms. Now imagine if he had never gone through anything. What would the book of Psalms sound like? Going to take a break and I'll be
right back.
This
program is being brought to you by I Am a Success Story. Our mission statement: to empower each other to accept ourselves in a world that is constantly trying to make us something we are not.
Yes, I am your host, Blaze. It is out the segment Prayerful Thursday, the fourth Thursday of the month. And today I'm having a hot cup of rose petals black tea, delicious, sugar-free, of course, and talking about prayer, you know, and what to do when you feel like there is no place else to go. Because normally when you hit bottom, the only other place to go is up. But you don't always feel that way when you see everything you do, it looks like you're sinking. You don't feel that way. But as I just said, that it came to mind, but Jesus said to Peter, when he was walking on the water towards Jesus and he lost focus, and he started to sink. And he said, "Master, save me." And Jesus said to him, "O ye of little faith." Sometimes it is our focus that we need to shift. You know, because we shift our focus on material things. We shift our focus on a man or a woman or a job or material possessions. You know, we shift our focus sometimes and we start to sink because our priorities just got mixed up. And so if you're sinking, shift your focus. Shift your focus. You know, I just remembered something else that I got. You know, Facebook have these things where you can answer questions and you get an answer. And earlier this year, I did one of those things. Every once in a while, I like to play around just for the fun of it to see what is it going to say to me. And I got the strangest response because what it said to me was, this year, slow down and enjoy. And this particular one is as if God is talking to you. God is answering you. So that's the thing. And so my answer that I got was, slow down and enjoy the life that I gave you. And I thought, wow, how profound. Because you all know I am busy. I'm doing 125 things. And I don't know what Facebook, I guess Facebook is seeing me pulling stuff from all social media, so they see you all over the place. But that was my response. Slow down and enjoy the life that I gave you. And right now, I am here caring for my grandson full time, which he has been my priority. My schedule is based around his schedule because he has some things that he needs that needs to be taken care of. And so schedule is based around his schedule. But nonetheless, when he's napping, I'm trying to catch up with everything else. And that's what my answer was. And so I decided that I was really going to slow down on some things, pull away from some things, slow down, because that was the instruction. God, I believe God speaks to you in unbelievable ways, you know, unbelievable ways. And so if you are going through some stuff, check your focus, shift your focus, shift your focus back to who God say you are, number one. Shift your focus to your source. Your source, number one. Number two, to whom God say you are. And number three, to do what God is in you to do. And so before the break, I was talking about David and saying that if David did not do as he was told, we would not have the book of Psalms. But here is a Psalm, Psalms 90, that I'm going to just read a couple of verses for you. And just listen to this. If you're going through something, just listen to this. And this particular one is a prayer of Moses. And this is not a David. I will give it to David later. But this one is a prayer of Moses. And it says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turneth man to destruction and saith, return ye, children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carrieth them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. Now that's Psalms 90, verse 1, 2, 6. And I read this because everything goes through a process. There is a time to mourn, a time to weep, a time to dance, a time to sow, a time to reap. Everything in life is a process. We are now in spring. We just left winter. We are now in spring, and in a couple of months it's going to be summer, and then we're back to the fall and in the winter. And the weather and the temperature and the rainfall and the snowfall all happens in its season. And if we are in a season, and we are in this season for a long time, then we need to make a shift. Because the weather shifts, the temperature shifts, but human beings, as human beings, we choose to think that we live outside of everything else. And truth be told, we are in the center. Everything is revolving around us, and we are revolving around everything else. We are in the center, we are on the outside, we are on top, we are at the bottom. We are all over the place because we are part of the whole. We are not separated from it. North, south, east, west, we are all over. And the minute we start to appreciate that we are part of a whole, and we start to embrace all of ourselves, things begin to look brighter. You know, it's like someone looking at their body, and as the words were coming out of my mouth, I thought about myself. You know, when I was younger, my lips, children used to tease me about my lips because I had, well, I still do, thick, beautiful lips. And so I constantly got teased about my lips. Ever, now that I am an adult, my lips are appreciated. And people are paying big money to have what I have naturally. And I'm pretty sure you can relate. You know, but we walk around, some of us don't like our nose, some of us don't like our lips, we don't like the color of our eyes, we don't like the size of our glutes, we don't like the size of our legs, you know, we don't like the shape of our legs, we don't like, some of us don't even like the color of our skin or the texture of our hair. You know, there is something we don't like about ourselves. And instead of focusing on the things that we like about ourselves, we focus about the things that we don't like. And it makes us sick to our stomach. It makes us miserable. And before we know it, we create a hostile, miserable environment for ourselves and the people in our lives, simply because we're choosing to focus on the things that we don't like about ourselves. Shift that focus, and everything else in your life shifts. Bottom line is, if you're going through something and it doesn't look like, you know, it's going to change, shift the focus back to your source and off of yourself. Because as long as the focus is on you or anything else but God, misery is bound to follow.
This program is being brought to you by I Am a Success Story. Our mission statement: to empower each other to accept ourselves in a world that is constantly trying to make us something we are not.
Yes, I am your host, Blaze. And I am going to now do a Psalms or Song of David. And I'm actually reading my Psalms from my King James Version. And so Psalm 68 says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation." And I'm going to stop right there, because regardless to what you're going through, shift your focus. Focus is part of what you choose to focus on. If it is not the right thing, it's part of the problem. Psalm 66 says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou is thy works, thou the greatness of thy power. Shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee, and all the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Shalah. Come and see the works of God." Shifting your focus on your source, Jesus Christ, God, Jah, Yahweh, Manuel, whatever you want to call him, Chief Abba. I like calling him Abba because that he is to me, Abba. Shift your focus. You know, if you are a dad and your son or your daughter sees you coming and they start shouting, Father, 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 to you, screaming, Father, Father, and you weren't there, you don't necessarily know what's wrong, but just the fact that your child is coming to you, screaming your name, addressing you as Father, imagine how that makes you feel. Imagine how it makes you want to approach your child and pick up your child and embrace your child. That's what I picture when I call God Abba. Now, when those words come out of my mouth, Abba, Abba, I can just picture him saying, what is it, my child? What's wrong, my child? And he addresses it. He addresses it. So, Father, I come to you at this moment, giving you thanks and praise for all that you have done, all that you are about to do. I ask you to bless all those who listen to this program, whether it is live or to the recording. Wherever they need a touch of healing, Lord, heal them. Those who are having financial issues, Lord, Father, not only bless them financially, but teach them how to manage the finances that you give them so that they can use it for your good, that it will multiply, press down, flowing over, that they will not be hungry or naked or homeless without a shelter, that they will feel your love through those that they encounter, that they will know that you are alive and well, that you are God, that you are not a man that you would lie, that when you said you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you meant it, that when you promised that you would lift us and place us upon a rock, that we would not stumble, that you meant it. That even if we stumble, we would not fall, that you meant it. That even if we fall, you would be there to pick us up, that you meant it. Teach us, O Lord, to embrace ourselves wholeheartedly. Help us to develop an attitude of gratitude. Cover us with your blood. Where there is pain, comfort, give comfort. Where there is anger, please give compassion. Where there is sickness, please be the healer. Where there is chaos, please give your peace that surpasses all understanding. Where there is confusion, please give love. Lord, I thank you for this day, every day. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your kindness, your compassion. I thank you for your forgiveness. There are so many things happening in this world. Comfort the parents and the family who have lost their life without any provocation. Father, you know who those families are. I just saw the pancake house shooting. Father, be with those families. Comfort them. You are the greatest counselor, the greatest comforter, the greatest healer, being the greatest physician. Those who are having operations right now, be in that operating room, be that doctor, be that nurse. Be that physician assistant who's assisting, Lord. Father, I would like to ask you to bless my pastor, family, my friends, my church brothers and sisters. Allow us to see each other through your eyes, to hear each other through your hairs, through your ears, to feel each other through your hand. We may become the nation that gives God all the glory. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. And I say thank you. Only we allow him to come into our lives and we give him permission to clean our hearts, our minds, our soul. He will do it. He will do it. You just give him permission. You know, I was watching Paula White quite a few years ago when I moved 2007, 2008, when I was in upstate New York. I lived in a very rural, and I mean rural. That off, I was living in a house on 350 acres and I had no one else in the house with me, 25-room house. And I was the only person in that house in the middle of the woods, a mile and a half driveway to the closest neighbor. Yes, I stayed there alone. I call that my desert time. I stayed there for 3 years. And one night when I was watching television, Paula White, I'll never forget that, she was on and she was talking about peace. And that was a time in my life when my life was chaotic. There was no peace in me personally. I was going through my process of self-healing and all of self-love and all of that work that I was doing with myself, but something was missing. And I'll never forget, I sat there and I said that prayer with Paula White as she said the prayer, and giving God and giving Christ permission to clean out my heart and to put peace within me, to take out whatever he needed to take out and to fill me with his peace. I will never forget that prayer, because a couple of days after that prayer, I realized I understood what the peace that surpasses all understanding was like. But life happened after that, and, you know, sometimes I forgot. Sometimes I forgot that I had access to that peace, and so when things got chaotic, I got chaotic with it. And then I met a friend a few years later, Gail, and Gail and I used to talk, and, you know, in talking, I found myself where I was refocused. Again, in the midst of chaos, I was able to smile and dance because I was once again focused. So if you're going through something, don't be afraid to give God permission, to give Christ permission to come in and to clean you out, because He will. He did it for me. He will do it for you. My name is Blaze. I'm your host. I have to say good night. It's that time. I leave you with none other than Charles Jenkins and the Fellowship Chicago War. Because, folks, we are fighting a holy war within our own selves. Because we have not learned how to conquer that inner war. It is showing up externally in our world. So let's shift our focus back onto Him who has the ability to give us the peace that surpasses. My name is Blaze. I'm your host saying thank you. Good night.
Can't have my friend.